Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here, riding solo, but only for a little while. Jimmy is on his way, but he is out away from the nest, as we like to say, and so he's just running a little bit behind. We also have our guest, weekly film session with Cole Jackson coming up here in just a few minutes, so excited to get into that, see what he, you know, see his thoughts from last week's win, big win. Moves the Ravens to first place in the AFC North, sitting at 3-1. Behind them, got a couple of 2-2 teams with the Steelers and the Browns. And then the Kitty Cats bringing up the rear, sitting at 1-3, which I'm not mad at all to see. But yeah, I wanted to, before Jimmy gets in here, before Cole joins us, wanted to just let you guys know some of the moves that the Ravens have been making here. Let's see. Let's pull up the transaction wire here. The Ravens have made some additions to the practice squad, and to make room on that practice squad, a bit of a disappointment. They let they waived Dante Demas Jr., of course, former Terp wide receiver, who was just brought back not long ago, finds himself waived once again. But the good news is they did sign back DB DeAndre Houston Carson, who most people saw with us during the preseason. He's back. He's a kind of a safety cornerback, primarily a safety. He's back with the squad. And then also brought back another familiar face, Eric Tomlinson, former tight end here for the Ravens just last year. If everybody remembers the long hair coming out of the back of the helmet. But they bring back another familiar face, and Tomlinson kind of makes you a little bit wondering what's going on there when they have so many tight ends, as well as Pat Ricard on the roster, but we'll maybe wait till later in the week to find out a little bit more about that. And then they brought in Trey Swilling, a cornerback, a former undrafted cornerback in his second season in the NFL. Most recently was with the San Francisco 49ers, a 6-foot, 200-pound corner out of Georgia Tech, who had his most famous battle going one-on-one against George Pickens, where they kind of got into a little bit of a scuffle in the end zone as the two were doing some one-on-one red zone. It was a red zone play, but yeah, so they brought in Trey Swilling again, a 6-foot guy, last with the Niners. Interesting, 6-foot tall, but not like the typical length you'd see from a 6-foot tall guy, a bit of a shorter armed 6-foot tall. But like I mentioned, 200 pounds, has some playing experience. So we'll see how he kind of factors into the roster, if at all. But yeah, just kind of wanted to keep you guys up to date on everything. But yeah, James is doing his hair, Ravens win. Yeah, absolutely. He don't just wake up like that. He's not Beyonce. You know, he needs time. He's got to put some product in there, you know, and then I think there's a waiting period to get that much of a perfection when it comes to his hair. I mean, there's a waiting period, there's a grace period before you can. So yeah, I mean, he's got stuff to do, but he'll be joining us very, very soon. Again, for on the road. And yeah, DK also right now not with us. Just me, guys. I know. It's crazy. Sean, shout out. Yes, man. I can't keep anything a secret here. Yes, my birthday is tomorrow. It's crazy. I'll be 36 tomorrow. Yeah, appreciate it, Sean, for noticing. I guess that's a Facebook thing. That I think my birthday is attached to it. So, yeah, shout out to Sean. Yes, it is my birthday. Can't believe it. 36 years old. It's crazy. Time certainly flies. I hope all those dams aren't because I'm old. I see these. Oh, I guess it's from that clip. What's his name? Sure, Kevin Hart. The Kevin Hart clip. Yeah. I got you. It's just Quan. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jackson. Appreciate the birthday wishes. Louise, appreciate you. Too much for you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Carla, everybody. JB, appreciate the early birthday wish. Thank you. Lisa Ann, appreciate the well wishes. Yes. Holding down the fort. Gonna be getting some takes soon, but I wanted to touch on a couple things that while we wait for them guys to get in here, get your guys' take on some of these statistics I've been seeing. It's been crazy because, you know, we knew that the Ravens were going to obviously have a different scheme with Todd Monken coming to town. But I think some Ravens fans were a little concerned that the Ravens would get too far away from being a run team and go completely all in on being pass first, pass only is what I think some fans were kind of fearing. Interestingly enough, the Ravens are second in the league in rush attempts this year, which I think most fans would have been like, heck no. You know, there's no way they're going to be. But they are second in rush attempts behind who is it that they're behind? I'm blanking right now. Oh, I think it's Philly. I think it might be Philly is the only team who's ran the ball more often than the Ravens. So that was kind of surprising. But also kind of surprising is the amazing success the Ravens have found in the red zone. I think if any fans have been around since last season knows that they struggled mightily in the red zone. They seemingly couldn't punch it in on the ground and then had issues through the air. And it seemed like through the first few seasons, Lamar Jackson was basically a cheat code in the red zone with his ability to run it in himself or dish it off to one of his weapons. But this year, it's been a massive, massive rebound. So not only are the Ravens 80% touchdown rate this season when getting into the red zone, which means once they get to 35 yards or closer, they score a touchdown 80% of those trips, which is just absolutely, you know, insane and a crazy number that I don't think they can sustain all year. But the fact that they're doing so is absolutely insane. And then also when they get in field goal range, and I don't know here it is. So again, within 35 yards of the end zone, the Ravens are converting third downs at 71%, by far the best in the league. Next place is 59%. So you're talking 12% better than second place in third down conversions once you get down into the red zone. I mean, something's obviously big. It's been a big, big change here when you're talking about that level of success in the most important area of the field. You know, a lot of teams can move the ball in between the 20s. You know, that 80 yards, even some defenses will be lenient in that they'll allow certain things to take place inside those, you know, in between the 220s. But once you get in the red zone, things get so much more challenging. You're talking about DBs don't have to worry about you wide receivers running by them. Like safeties don't have to worry about a tight end tearing up the seam and gashing them for 30 yards. There's just not enough room to run. So the fact that they are converting third downs at a 71% clip in the red area, and then furthermore converting those trips to the red zone at an 80% clip to touchdowns, I mean, that right there has got to be a big, big reason as to why the Ravens are finding themselves first place right now in the AFC North. And that's despite the fact that 57% of their total drives end in a punt or a turnover, which is, you know, just for a reference, about middle of the pack. But it just shows that once they get in that red zone, I mean, they typically are finishing drives. And you know, that's what you want, because it don't matter how often you get down there. If you're kicking field goals in this league, you're not going to win a lot of games. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you get down there. And you know, if you're only getting three when you leave, chances are you're going to have a tough time winning games in this league. So, shout out to that Ravens offense for getting it done when it, you know, where it counts. Deadly Jordan says red zone QB runs early in the season should open up. Absolutely. So if you keep gouging them on the ground with Lamar Jackson's legs, all of a sudden, if he makes any type of a jab step, even towards the line of scrimmage, defenders are going to start crashing down in anticipation that Lamar takes off. And so it's going to allow those guys at the back of the end zone to continue to work, and hopefully Lamar can find them. Oh, you know what? I said no, DK, but this is the one I did show. I did show this. hey, I didn't show that one, though. Shout out to Sean. Thank you. Yes, appreciate the early birthday wishes. Thank you so much. Let's see. Cake says, happy birthday, big dog. Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. It's crazy. I mean, they always say that time goes by fast after you get out of school and you have children, but man, they weren't lying. I mean, holy smokes. I cannot believe I'm about to be 36. This is absolutely crazy. Still haven't settled on my birthday dinner yet. So if you guys have any of your favorites, throw them in the chat. I appreciate the suggestions. I'm going to try something a little bit different. I don't want to go something I've done before. I want to try it a little bit differently. So if you guys have any suggestions in the chat, I'd certainly appreciate it. But without further ado, it's quickly becoming my favorite segment of this show every week. I mean, I learned so much. We're having a great time. We're getting to know our next guest, Cole Jackson. Appreciate you coming back, clearing out some time for us once again. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, brother, and I'm on time. What's going on, man? What's going on, chat? It's your birthday today?
Tomorrow.
Wow, yeah. Mine's on Saturday. So October birthday, brothers. First week of October birthday, brothers. Happy birthday tomorrow, buddy. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, you too. Absolutely. So does that make you on the Libra scale? Are you there?
What's that?
Libra? You don't know? No. I guess it's that American thing, DK? Really? You don't know about the birth, your zodiac sign or anything? Cancer?
Oh, Libra. Yeah.
Okay. Libra. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I thought
okay,
you said Lever. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Team Libra. Yeah, shout out. But thanks so much for joining us. And guys, by the way, if you guys haven't yet, please go subscribe to Cole's YouTube channel, Road Graders. Does an awesome job breaking down the plays, breaking down the film to make it more understandable for guys like me, just the typical fan. So definitely go check that out. Massey says, you look like you're in your 20s. Wow, I'll take it. Did you have any empathy for DTR backing up Deshaun? At some points, I did. He took a couple licks, especially. I don't know if you guys saw that clip where Roquan and Pat Queen both shoved him at the same time, despite him getting the ball out. He just gets ragdolled. Yeah, so at points I did. But look, he's getting paid. He's an NFL quarterback. That's an opportunity. Let's see. Some Ravens fans did, including me, felt bad for the kid. Still happy Deshaun didn't play. Yeah, we're going to get into it, and might as well jump right into it right now here, Cole. Look, there's a lot of praise, and we're going to get into a lot of what good happened in this game, but I can't help but remember how this game started, Cole. And when I looked outside of that 10-yard touchdown by Lamar that was set up by the interception, they did not start the game well at all. In fact, four of their five drives ended basically in three and outs.
Yep.
And it makes me wonder, of course, there's no way for us to ever know, but if Deshaun had played and they had more competent play on the offensive side of the ball, could this game have went to different? Because, look, momentum is a very real thing when it comes to all sports, certainly football. So what happened in those first few drives, Cole, that just wasn't working, and what changed that all of a sudden started working?
Yeah, I mean, what wasn't working was really the pass protection up front. They couldn't get their pass game going. They weren't getting a lot of movement in the run game. It just didn't. They just had too many things clicking against them. You know, McCarry got mauled early, really struggled against Myles Garrett early. But then as the game went on, I thought he really turned the game around in terms of that one-on-one pass rush battle. But I found that, you know, really what turned the game around, and I see all the comments in the chat, was my twin, Mark Andrews. It was that 36-yard play. So that came, we scored the 10-yard touchdown after the Brandon Stevens interception. Then the ball came back to us, and we were pinned deep. They went run, and on third down, Andrews took it for 36. And then after that play, it seemed like they started walking with some swagger, and that's something I've noticed. And it's not just really the Ravens, it's any team, but over the last few years, sometimes when they're skidding early in the game, I've always thought to myself, like, let's get Lamar involved in the run game. And the reason I say that is because he sparks big plays, and those big plays can shift the momentum, right? And so it wasn't a Lamar Jackson rush, but it was a Mark Andrews yak play where he basically broke two tackles. Did anyone else, chat, drop a comment if you guys did anyone else cringe like crazy when the defender was coming from behind Andrews on that play and tried to punch the ball out? Because Kenyon Drake all over again. I saw his hand go up and I literally gasped while watching the game, but luckily Andrews held on to it. And then, but to address your other question, you know, would it have changed with Watson? Obviously their pass game would have been a little bit different, but honestly, Watson struggled early in his season. So, I mean, I do think he can do a lot more vertically. But I think it's just a big testament to Mike McDonald. He had this defense absolutely flying, and I know we'll probably dive into it a little bit deeper, but I don't think it mattered what quarterback it was. And I think it's going to be an advantage for the Ravens all year long. Mike McDonald is just on his A game with the scheme design right now.
Yeah, and I'm glad he was one of my next questions. I think I think you're a big fan of Mike McDonald. I can tell by the way, you know, you talk about him, the way you tweet about him. I'm just going to let, like, what is it that is making what he's doing so special? Because I know it's in, it's in kind of hand in hand with the personnel, right? Like the way he's using Roquan and Pat Queen and Kyle Hamilton. Like, what's like, should the Ravens be worried first and foremost? Like, is he going to be getting some interviews? And what is it that's making him like so unique, so special, as opposed to like what we've seen from Wink in years past?
This is the ultimate, and we've heard this. If you guys are Pardon My Take fans, you hear them talk about it all the time. Is it the X's and O's or is it the Jimmy and the Joes? And I think it's honestly the perfect marriage because the Ravens have three key versatile pieces. And it's probably more than three, but the three that stand out to me are Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen, and Kyle Hamilton that he is so unbelievably creative with. He throws a lot of different coverage looks, but how he schemes up those second level front seven guys, because we're usually playing nickel. You're not usually seeing like a 4-3, 3-4 look anymore. Like it's basically a base nickel defense. And the way, like, this is where Kyle Hamilton was getting called a box safety and all that. He's basically a slot corner right now who will also step in and do some creative things. But the way he's able to scheme pressures, use delayed blitzes, like the way he can, like, you'll see, it was funny. A lot of people got mad last year when Michael Pierce dropped into coverage, but there was a play this year where Pierce did drop out. They brought a linebacker and a DB, and Pierce actually went into the passing lane of the crossing route and forced the quarterback to hold the ball. So it's just his ability to creatively send the, it's, there's no, like, the best way to compare it is if you go back to Dean Pease's defense, it was very much the same thing. It was all about assignment football. Every coverage looked the same. He was expecting his guys to execute. What Mike McDonald throws these quarterbacks' ways is basically a different look every play. It's always different. Guys are always in different spots, and the guys up front are playing unselfish football. You had the play where Patrick Queen literally absolutely bounced the guard, and he just ran into him, and Roquan wrapped around him and got the quarterback hit and absolutely obliterated him. But just the way he's scheming up those pressures, dropping guys into coverage, it looks different every single time, and that's the beauty of his scheme.
Yeah, he certainly makes you read pre and post snap. I love what this guy's doing. And the fact that he's my age is just completely – like, I try and put myself – like, I'm going to lead this group of men. Hell no, they're not following me. They're pushing me out of the way, and they're going to go past me. But it's just amazing to me. This guy is literally my age, and he's doing as well as he is. Now, sticking on the offense or on the defensive side of the ball, I want to get your take on what's going on in the edge group, because – man, like if you would have the first week of preseason or even before that, if you would have told me, you know, by week four, our starters are going to be Van Noy and Clowney, I'd say I think I'd be okay with it, even with the hype of Owe and Ajabo at that point. But let me ask you, at this point in their careers right now, not their potential and where they might be, is Clowney and Van Noy a better edge duo than Owe and Ajabo?
Yeah, right now, yeah. I mean, I thought Owe was playing really well to start the year, so him getting hurt was a huge blow. He looked like – he just looked different. He was playing faster. So Owe would have looked pretty good, I think, out there opposite Clowney once he got comfortable. But these guys are playing really good football. 10 pressures between the two of them. Kyle Van Noy with 4 pressures and just 15 pass rush snaps. Like, that's pretty freaky. And that's pressures. That's not just pass rush wins. So he had other wins that didn't result in pressures. Ball coming out early, that sort of thing. So I thought Van Noy looked incredible. I think someone said it on Twitter. I wish I had their handle. I apologize because they do deserve the credit. The way they put it was the Ravens are playing money ball at the edge position. And it's so true. I mean, I put a tweet out today of the one-year deals that were given out. You had guys like Leonard Floyd, $7 million on a 1 year. Justin Houston, $6 million. Yannick Ngakoue, $10 million. We're paying Clowney 1 year, $2.4 million, and he has 19 pressures in 4 games. Kyle Van Noy is, I haven't even seen his contract, but it must be. If he came onto the practice squad, it's got to be low. Like, it's got to be vet min area, and he's got 4 pressures in 1 game and 15 pass rush snaps. So Jimmy. What's up? I was late last week. You're late this week. I love it.
Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Well, look, I'm going to tell everybody. You lost What's your up? Key, Jimmy? I mean, how do you lose your key?
Dude, I lost my key, and because I'm at a Disney resort, I walk up to the front desk, and I'm like, look, I lost my key. My wallet is in my room. Can you just, like, this is my work badge. Like, what else do you need? She's like, no, security needs to go upstairs and take you to room and see your ID and blah, blah. And so I'm like, okay. So I wait up in my room, and then no one's here. I'm waiting, like, 10 minutes. Freaking security guy is down by the elevators talking on the phone to who knows who. And finally, I hear him, and I walk down. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to let me in my room. Like, can you – come on, dude. There's people waiting on me here.
He's calling his bookie, bro. He's trying to get the bets in.
Jeez, that's right. You know what I mean? He's downloading BetUS. Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, so right. Sorry for the interruption. I apologize. But I'm here.
Good. Welcome in. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you are well. You know, I'm glad. Well. It looks like you got a haircut, which the people will be happy to see.
Got the
they
haircut.
They were asking about it.
That's right. Got the fresh cut. Got the fit on. Doing good today, dude. This is
dude. Did you get your teeth whitened? Them things look bright today, no. Bro. Hey, bro. Did you get veneers down there, bro? What's
dude? You know what happened about my teeth, bro?
I'm now the worst looking guy on the podcast tonight.
Hey, look, there's a lot of Mark Andrews fans, and I call him the brother from another mother of yours because, I mean, my goodness, you guys look so much alike. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. But, Jimmy, I'm gonna let you prepare your question, but I'm gonna hit hold with one and give you an opportunity to catch up here. So, with Morgan Moses going out, we don't really know what the timeline is right now, which is crazy because I don't think he's missed a game in his life.
His durability has been insane.
So, yeah, to think about a game without him is kind of crazy. But Faalele comes in, and I just want you to kind of share your take on what you saw from Faalele. Because I always went like, we probably got the best two backup tackles like in the league with McCary and Faalele. But what'd you see from him in the brief stint?
Yeah, and if you guys want a deeper dive, I just put a video out this morning over on Road Graders on Faalele, focusing on his game. He struggled. He did struggle in this one. I genuinely think, and this isn't an excuse because it doesn't mean it's okay. I genuinely think a lot of his struggles on Sunday were lack of mental preparation. And the reason I say that is because if you go back to his preseason game, he knows he's going to be playing. He knows he's going to be playing a lot. A lot of the little things that I wanted to see him clean up, things like just getting off the ball, like, you know, all the stuff around Jawan Taylor jumping the snap and Lane Johnson jumping the snap. That's what we need from Daniel Faalele because he needs to be up and out early. He's not quick enough. And so in the preseason, I thought he was doing that quite well, getting into good positions, using his length well. But then Sunday, he's just off the ball late again. Like there's snaps where he's a full step late off the ball. And it's just like, mentally, it's just not there. Like he's trying to process too much and he doesn't forget the snap count, but he's not thinking of timing it. And that's the little things like that are what's frustrating me because it's preventing him from kind of, you know, being able to use things like his length. That's his margin for error. He's got those 38 inch arms where he can really use them. So I'm really interested. I'm not sure what they're going to do if Ronnie Stanley comes back. I don't know if they'll just flip McCary and run with it. McCary was it last year, 2021? Was McCary played a lot of right tackles?
It was 21
because he banged up his ankle against the Steelers. But McCary's had a pretty good track record against TJ Watt. So you know TJ Watt's going to be a tough matchup. He lines up over the right tackle exclusively. He doesn't flip sides. Mm. So it's going to be that right tackle against so Watt. Pretty much all
you got
game.
McCary. You got Myles Garrett 1 week at left tackle. Then you got to switch to right tackle and take on TJ Watt. That's no problem, Cole.
No, yeah, just you know, and McCary got outclassed on some of those snaps last week, and that's what happens to backups against elite players. Yeah. Like I don't know what to tell people, you know. People are like, well, you said McCary's good. And I was like, I said he was a good backup. Yeah. What you want from your backup is to be a good backup. There's not enough good tackles in this league to have three or four starting caliber tackles on your roster. So you need guys that are going to be able to come off the bench and get you through games. And, you know, the Ravens were in the lead. It didn't matter at the end of the day. But Faalele didn't live up to that on Sunday. But I do think if he can be more prepared going into this game, I think he can mask some of those limitations he showed.
Yeah, no, the one thing I'll say, last year when Falele came in and played left tackle, I don't remember what game it was.
Patriots. Remember how much he struggled?
At the beginning, and then it was almost like halftime. Yeah.
I did a video on it because I was like, what? Yeah.
It was wild.
It was the weirdest. He gave up 2 sacks and like 6 snaps. And then he didn't give up another pressure for the entire second half. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, but it was a lot of the same type of stuff. It was late off the ball. He was going against, it might've been Trey Flowers. Yeah, it was Trey Flowers most of the day. And Flowers was just short cornering him nonstop in those first few snaps. And then he finally figured it out. So I'm hoping if it's Falele, that's going to be what we see. You know, we see him a little bit more mentally prepared, ready to go.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I've got to tell you, Cole, I'm going to help you out here. It's 2 A's. So it's it's 2 A's. It's 2 sounds. He's saying Falele like a Chick-fil-A, like Falele.
I say Falele.
It's Fa-A-Lele.
Fa-A-Lele. Someone made a comment on my YouTube video this morning, and they're like, you're saying it wrong. And
yeah, I'm trying to help. That's all.
No, it's helpful. Yeah. I also say milk. Yeah.
but no, I'm hopeful that's immediately came to my mind when you were talking. Like, I remember that game where he just came out and looked horrendous, and then all of a sudden he's a different player, and he's got the sheer size. So if he can get his feet out of the cement buckets that he's found them in, then maybe he can, you know, make a jump. My question, and this is really for both of you, is, you know, we have these injuries. We're going into this Pittsburgh game. So I think it's always close with Pittsburgh, but are there any things, you know, it was still a great game overall, but are there any things we can do, whether that's the O-line or whether that's the team as a whole? What are some things that we can do that's conceivable to improve from 1 week to another, right? Like that's where I'm at, because we got these young guys that are coming in. We've got guys that are having to play bigger roles that normally wouldn't. So what are some things that now they're getting some more experience under their belt that we can say, okay, this is, you know, one or two things that we know that they did wrong, but because they're young guys or inexperienced guys, they can improve upon and should be able to from one game to the next. Loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
But it's what I've been thinking about all, you know, since the game, because this is really where the drastic improvement can come. When you're a young or inexperienced player, between one game to the next, there should be a big jump.
Yeah.
Right. So like,
my answer is a little boring, but it comes back to just what I remember one of my coaches saying, and it's very true in football versus other sports. And I just tweeted something about this because I was thinking about someone going on IR missing 4 games, and you're kind of like, wow, it's just 4 games and then he'll be back. But when you think about it, that's 25% of an entire season. Compare that to the NHL, 4 games is nothing, right? It's a week. It's nothing to these guys. So it's really about chasing consistency. And the problem in the NFL is if you can't do that fast, it's noticeable. And so your bad games amplify. And so I think it's just rep to rep, you know, game to game, week to week, it's being able to consistently apply your technique. And that's been where, and it's a little bit of a boring answer, but I do think it is that simple, because a guy like Falele, say he goes, and McCarrie's actually a good example. You take the Bengals game, right? Amazing game from him. He absolutely shut out Trey Hendrickson, completely shut him down, comes into the next week, struggles, right? And so, but then this week struggles a bit early, then gets it together. And so those inconsistencies from your backups really stand out. And that's really what separates backups and starters, right? It's their ability to consistently apply their technique. So for guys like Falele, guys, we could very well have a McCarrie Falele tackle duo this week, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not a guarantee that Ronnie Stanley's back. He returned to practice. From what I understand about Ronnie Stanley is it's very similar to last year. He doesn't want to play until he's 100%. And so that means these weeks where he's, you know, loading up 80%, 85%, all that kind of stuff, he's not playing through that injury. And so that's why he was able to practice last week, sit out Friday, and then not play on Sunday. Versus a guy like Tyler Linderbaum, crazy son of a bitch, sprained his ankle, tried to practice the first week. I don't know if that's public information, but that's 100% a true story. And then the crazy fuck comes back the next week. Like, he would cut off his ankle and get out there if he could. He's a psycho. And then did you guys see what happens when you're from Iowa?
Oh, the box out?
The butt crack. Dude,
so did they come up with a name for it?
The butt crack.
I went with the butt crack block.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I took crack back block, and I was like, back crack block. And I was like, what about butt crack block?
Dude, look, let me tell you what. When you're from that part of the country, you do whatever you got to do to get the job done. You don't get days off.
That's it, man. Solon, Iowa. He's out there wrestling pigs. Do you guys know that he set the record in the hay bale toss at his local state fair?
Not surprised.
True story.
No, I did not know that. That is awesome.
I did my draft research on Tyler Linderbaum. Trust me.
I'd love to see that dude tossing hay bales. That'd be hilarious.
Let's see. It's just Quan says, can you guys see Bate getting traded at deadline? No, I don't see that. It's just Quan. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I don't think so. I would not mind to see them being aggressive, though. And, hey,
yeah,
like Cole, I think you mentioned it. I think I saw you mentioned on Twitter. Look, these second-round picks, you know, let's just keep moving them, because every time we trade one, we bring back something a whole lot better than we probably would have, you know, gotten if we used the draft pick. Do you think the Ravens should be or possibly could be aggressive at the trade deadline, Cole?
I think this team, and I tweeted it yesterday, I think it was, this team is a true edge, a number one edge, away from being the true contender. And so it kind of goes against what I said earlier with the Moneyball approach, because that is the Ravens have gone cheap at edge, and they've really kind of focused on getting the right skill sets in to fill the void and using that with the scheme pass rush. But having a guy that can just – because it's so hard to give help to the edge, because once you give help to the edge, you're either taking a guy that can run a pattern, for example, you're taking him out of being able to do that. So if you keep in six-man protection – now you have less guys running routes that helps your coverage, right? So it's a lot harder to give help out to that edge player than it is an inside player. So like as good – Aaron Donald's a little bit of a bad example because he's just that good. But I would rather scheme for – with my offensive line, I'd rather scheme for an Aaron Donald than a Myles Garrett. It's easier for me to give double help inside because I have three guys usually blocking two with two guards and a center against two defensive tackles. It's easier for me to scheme that double team than it is to slide my line out to the edge or keep a tight end in. So I think they're a true edge away from being
maybe Burns from Carolina.
I don't think they'll sell him. Like it's kind of weird, right?
He's
like
so good though.
But Daniel Hunter.
Oh, now Jimmy will tell you. Glenn's been on that guy for a long time.
So he's owed $8 million to a team that trades for him based off his contract. The Ravens can use. They can restructure Lamar, Ronnie, though I don't know if they want to restructure Ronnie because it'll kick money down the road.
They've restructured Marlon at the beginning.
Did they get Marlon? Okay.
Yep. So I think it's Andrews. That's what Andrews. It is. So
well, just call him up, dude. Yeah, you guys are buddies. I mean,
send me the papers. I'll sign them.
Yeah, you'll see him at Thanksgiving, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Thanksgiving is this weekend. This is how different Canadian Thanksgiving is. Yeah, man.
Oh, okay.
It's always on my birthday.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Cole.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy birthday. Yeah,
you guys do the turkey and all that? And same thing up there?
Yeah, but I've said to a number of people, it's not nearly as serious as you guys take it. Like, the way Americans treat Thanksgiving, and it's fun for me because, like, I interact with Americans all week, every week. So it's like, and I've joked with a bunch of people, like, you know, one of these, I'm going to come down for a game on Thanksgiving weekend and basically crash someone's Thanksgiving dinner just to experience it. But you guys take it way more seriously than we do.
We don't mess around with food, Cole.
No, I know.
You know?
It ain't the same up here.
Yeah. Got you.
Now, I got to ask you guys this question, though, because, Cole, I saw you tweeted about this. I don't know if you already talked about this. You talked about the edge, and we've got some situations there. Like, we're trying to figure this whole thing out still. We've got Van Noy. We've got Clowney and things like that. But when it comes to the run game, like, if you remember the Colts game, if I'm not mistaken, it was really those two big run plays that they had where we just didn't set the edge. Yeah. Outside of that, we did really well. My question to you, and I noticed you tweeted about it, Malik Harrison is a bit he's a guy that we've used, obviously, as a middle linebacker, but also on the outside. In my mind, I think you kind of tweeted about this, where he just absolutely blew up the guy, the tight end on the edge. And he's such a big bruising guy that, at least in that role, it seems to me that's a good fit for him to be like a first and second down backer there on the outside.
Old school backer.
Yeah. What's your take on the Ravens, you know, once again, to either of you, but what's your take on the utilization of him? Do you see him having this role as we're working through these injuries. And so are you a fan of it?
Yeah, because he's a guy that's a core special teamer. So he's going to be active every week. And his ability to provide some depth at the inside linebacker position with Delshon Phillips and also play some of that Sam role. And like there was a play, the Elijah Moore, the biggest, I think it was the biggest loss in like 8 years on one play, or the first loss that went from minus 20. It happened because Harrison literally threw the tight end at Elijah Moore and he turned around and ran the other way. He sets a violent edge. And the edge problem, they started Jeremiah Moon, and on the first run play, it got called back from the hold. Jerome Ford went for like 24 yards on another run, and he cut inside and there was nobody to fill the edge, set the edge. So it's one of those things where if they want to kind of limit Kyle Van Noy's snaps and Bowser's not back, I'd start him. I'd start him in the sense that I'd play him early and then get Kyle Van Noy on the field for, you know, second and long, third and long, those situations. I have no issue with him out there because teams are going to try and run on the Ravens and they just haven't been able to. Like, I know I was laughing because I saw a lot of fans being like, and I do get their point. Like, it's a rookie quarterback playing his first start in the NFL and they threw the ball 36 times and they barely ran it, but the hell do you want them to run it? Like, Travis Jones and Michael Pierce have been, and Broderick Washington have been eating inside. Like, they're absolutely impossible. These linebackers fly around like banshees. And then the only place that we've been susceptible is on the edge. So if they can set a hard edge, you can't run on the Ravens. And like, this is going to be a real problem if Mitch Trubisky's playing four quarters. Like, if they can't run with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and Jalen Warren is a big threat for me because he's a guy that can get outside the tackles. So they better set that edge.
So you're not worried about Najee Harris?
No, like he kind of fits the way he runs north-south. I think he fits into the plans. Like he's the type of running back that's not going to give the Ravens problems.
Anybody problems, Cole. I guess you don't understand
He's not – James cannot stand Najee. He says he's been overrated. He's I'll give Jimmy credit. He said he was overrated literally the moment he was drafted. And I was like, dude, Najee's pretty good, dude. But Jimmy's like, nope, he's not. He's no Gus. And then now – years later, he's getting his job taken by Warren.
We got to talk about Jimmy's boy, Gus.
Let's do it. Because I want to ask you about those running backs in general. And also, and after you're done gushing about Gus, I need to hear about what Mitchell might bring back to this team this week.
The alliteration was good, Glenn. No tongue tie on that one.
Things changed in 1 week. And this is something to kind of watch unfold because obviously getting healthy was important. Gus was banged up. He had that conky. Hill came back. But the biggest thing, Gus weeks 1, 2, and 3, zero missed tackles forced. In week 4 alone, 5. Like he looked like his old self, where he's just kind of running through guys.
Just knocked the screws back in place. That's what happened.
I guess, yeah, he kind of got some sense knocked into him.
When he plays, he's used to playing in a concussed state. So early in the season, he wasn't concussed.
Oh, here we go. Here
he
we
wasn't
go.
Concussed, so he was here like not go. Playing well. And then he got concussed, and he's like playing like Gus again. That's what happened, dude.
And then you get Justice Hill, who can give you those big plays. He's been pretty explosive. And the shock to me has been Melvin Gordon looking pretty damn good. Yeah. And so I guess the question is, what do we do with Keaton Mitchell? And it's a tough one because if I'm being completely honest with you guys, I don't see a reason to not keep Melvin Gordon around with how he's played. He didn't fumble. He hasn't fumbled yet. If he puts the ball on the ground, he's going to be gone. So, I mean,
and he's probably, correct me if I'm wrong, Cole, he's probably our best blocking back, right?
Well, like, Gus.
Gus has been a freak show back there. Like, it's
fair enough.
His development as a pass ball, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know if he spent
it's
some
just
time
another feather in the ball. Another like, arrow in the quiver of the game of Gus Edwards. Ever evolving.
And he made a couple catches. So, like, dude. I mean, he looked like 3-0 back. But yeah, that's the tough one because I want to see Keaton Mitchell on the field. I love his game. I love what he brings. The question that I want people to think about, is he too similar to Justice Hill?
Right.
And so is that the trade-off? And how do you manage that situation? Because I don't see him the same as Gus at all, obviously. He's a completely different archetype. I don't see him the same as Melvin Gordon. And I think what Melvin Gordon's done as a receiver has made me feel like, well, like the catch on that wheel route, that was not an easy catch.
All hands.
And so, you know, how do you get Keaton Mitchell on the field? And I think it's between him and Justice Hill because I just see they're similar archetypes. I don't want to, they're not the same player, but they're similar archetypes where they're smaller jitterbug backs, right? Where they can give you those explosive plays outside.
Only thing we need justice on, like what'll keep him on though, is his special teams contribution. Yeah.
That's how it's so. It's just what's the path to getting Keaton Mitchell on the field?
Let's hope it doesn't come.
I think it's got to be Melvin. It's got to be Melvin.
It's got to be.
I mean, I see what you're saying. He had the nice run. He had the hands catch. I mean,
let's just hope it doesn't come down to a fumble, boys.
I know. I don't want that to be the reason Melvin is benched. But I mean, do you think Keaton could get through like to the practice squad no issues, or do you see it?
I don't think so. Him? And I think the team by putting him on IR instead of practice squad, he wasn't hurt, mm-hmm. right? Like, no. I don't know if that's public knowledge yet, but
it was a stash.
He had a shoulder stinger that he could have played through in the third game, but he had already made the team in the sense that he didn't have to show anything. So them keeping him around on IR rather than practice squad shows me what I think the Ravens think the rest of the league would do. So they think he's good enough to be on an NFL roster. So it's, what do you do from here? It's a good problem to have. They can kind of sort it out week to week. He can be designated to return, but he doesn't have to return for, I think, 3 weeks. Right. So, we'll see what happens, but I think, you know, I want to see him on the field eventually. I want to see what they could do with him because he was so fun in the preseason, so explosive. I got to give credit where it's due. I got to give credit to Melvin Gordon. A lot of people, including myself, were hard on that pickup, didn't think he'd bring anything, and he's brought quite a bit. I think he's been pretty darn good.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Casper says, shout out to Willie Taggart, because I think he deserves some credit here coming in and coaching the running back room. Mm-hmm. Now I got to give you an opportunity to talk about the performance of Lamar Jackson. I mean, he had his best game, 4 touchdowns, did put the ball on the ground. I want to get your take on that exchange between Justice Hill. Cause to me, you got to put the ball in the guy's chest, but some are saying that Justice reacted to a D lineman and caused him to kind of go out of his lane.
His hands go like that.
Is that what it is?
Everybody was talking about how he let the ball go. And sometimes that happens. Like sometimes it's like more, not like a pitch, because it's not a pitch, but he's just kind of like putting it into the breadbasket. But if you slow down, you can see he's got his hands like this to take this. He's got his hands like this, and then he goes like that, and then he brings it back down. So I don't know. It was a weird play. Like but Lamar also did like give a little mini toss, like whatever this is. Like, I don't even know what you call that. Like the way you kind of throw something in the garbage. Like it was weird.
A finger roll, right?
Like, yeah. Like it was weird. It was like John Wall out there. So it was weird, but it's not like, if you slow down on every single exchange, it's not always like ball into the chest, right? It's always, okay. It can sometimes be like a little bit of a little bit of a garbage throw. So, but Lamar overall, man threw the ball in buckets. Like the way he's been able to attack the sideline, especially in the red zone, that touchdown at the end of the half or end of the half to Mark Andrews in the back of the end zone. It's quote unquote thrown into double coverage because there's two defenders there, but it's not really thrown into double coverage because no one else was making a play on that ball except for Mark Andrews. It was basically spotted because Mark wasn't completely in the back of the end zone, but it was placed as if it would have hit the ground, it would have been right on the white line in the back. And it just was lobbed up perfectly. What he's thinking with that throw is, I don't know if Mark's going to catch it, but nobody else is going to catch it if it's not Mark. And right. So that's just, we haven't seen that from him. We haven't seen him just kind of throw those balls up for his guy to make catches in the red zone. And so I think that's something where Monken's telling him to do it and Lamar's perfectly placing the ball.
Hey, man, don't you guys remember years ago when all these national pundits that knew everything about the quarterback position were like, and Lamar Jackson is probably never going to be able to throw the ball well outside the numbers and push it down the field on the outside. And like, it seems like such a distant memory, but I want to know where all those guys are. Like, no, they're still on ESPN.
Probably hiding from me on Twitter, to be completely honest with you.
You know what, by the way, I'm glad you said that, Cole. You are – I love that you go after everybody. Like, I absolutely – you say the things that I want to say, but I never actually type it out. And I can't remember – who was it that wrote a recent – oh, the OBJ article that had you absolutely
– I just –
you went right after the author. I loved it.
The thing with me,
the thing with me is,
and like, you guys are probably in the same boat as me. Like, this is just my hobby. Like, I just, I found a way to kind of make my hobby my own thing. I got nothing to lose. Like, I don't some of these guys that are like real call, like I'll say real content creators in the sense that like it's their career. They can't say stuff to them. Like, if I've done some work with the Ravens site, like if they kind of let me go because of something I say on Twitter, I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it. I still have a job. Like, everything's fine. Right. But I just like, I don't know. I'm one of those guys where I find things need to be said to people. And like, when you're a lot of the stuff with Lamar that made me mad is it was always just so, it was so dumb. Like, it was such a frustrating conversation with so many years that I just got to the point where I was like annoyed and pissed off all the time, because like, what are we even talking about at this point? Like, we're still talking about how the guy can't throw. Like, it's 2023. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's obnoxious, but I do love calling people out. I love keeping receipts. It's hilarious.
Absolutely. Hey, Cole, I'll let you read this one if you want. How about that?
Love the Road Graders 410 Sports Talk. Oh, I love Don C. He's the man. Awesome. Serious, honest opinion. Can we keep PQ? This is awesome with Six and Q. Don't want to stop. I know the Ravens are trying. I know that the Ravens made an offer. He was looking for more money. I think basically what he was told was kind of what they told Lamar. Like, this is the number. We're going to let you kind of go test the market, see what other numbers you can get. Let us know what you hear, and we'll go from there. And so my only thing is, it's tough to pay two inside linebackers with everybody else that's kind of got to be paid, right? Like, and that's thinking long term.
Well, we don't have any edge guys coming out of the pipe. They got to be.
Well, that's the thing. So if they keep money balling the D line, like, let's think about it. They're not going to probably pay Matt Abike. So probably going to lose him. They paid Brody to stay. Yep. So Brody's going to be back. Jones is back. But they have some other guys that they're going to have to pay soon. So,
I mean, Kyle Hamilton's not going to be cheap, but he's here for what, another four?
So he'll be in his contract year at the, you know, next year will be year three for him. I can't believe this is Ajabo's year three. Or not Ajabo, excuse me, Adafe Owe.
Yeah.
Same with Bateman. But Bateman's, again, it's like, do you pay him? But it's just, it's nothing against PQ's play. No. I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier. He's been a truly selfless player. Him and Rowe playing off one another. Absolute dogs out there. I'd love to see him stay. I just hope they can find a number that works for everybody. I think it's going to be in that 12 mil area. I think that's where they could kind of land a happy little area.
$32 million a year towards the middle linebacker position. Could you imagine 20 to one, 12 to the other?
Woo! There's a lot of guys that leave and they do get more money, and I certainly understand that. But we've had multiple former Ravens that have now retired, and they said, if I could go back in time, because one, you find doesn't PQ just look extremely happy playing
and
next to Roquan? Like,
it's comfortable.
Yeah, and when you hear Clowney talk about what Roquan does, like how much fun he makes it playing football, and how, you know, how infectious that type of attitude is. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, like, if the money isn't crazy different, if, you know, if his experience could convince him to stick around. But I guess that's a lot to ask when you're talking millions and millions of dollars. But
yeah, and a lot of times the familial pressure and stuff like that to take the contract. And who knows, Wink might be calling him to take a ride up the New Jersey Turnpike here soon.
Yeah,
he might ask him to play quarterback.
They need help.
Right.
Holy
man, did they pay the wrong guy?
Dude, you see Dable tossing the tablet?
Dude, like, pissed off. Shoot, man, they should have gave every one of those dollars. Just give it to Saquon, because your offense
is quarterback,
nothing.
Dude. Yeah, let him be the quarterback. Just
direct snap it to him.
Now, Cole, I want to ask you this. Todd Monken's first four games as the OC are here and gone. Mm. What's your kind of early first quarter grade on what you saw from Monken?
I give him a good B. There's still some things, like there's some tangible things that he's done differently that I love. I think some of the performance issues have been related to the O-line and the pass protection, that you can't really, like, guys got to execute. I think couple of things I'd like to see him improve, just so I'm giving you guys some specifics and not just kind of talking all fluffy. I'd like to see him run more out of the spread 11 personnel looks. That's been their most effective on EPA, but it's actually the formation they've run the least out of. So that's frustrating to see, just because Ravens are usually pretty analytically ahead of the curve, I guess, is probably the term. But I'd like to see them get a little bit better in that area. I think teams have, at least when the wide receivers have been healthy, they've basically respected that spread look. They can't just leave OBJ, Bateman, Zay. They can't just leave them out there and stack the box. So if you can, especially with Gus making guys miss tackles now, if you can kind of get, you know, a six-man box and run into it out of a spread look, you're getting Linderbaum out in space, you run that zone look, that sort of thing, I think you can generate good yardage. So I'd like to see that as a tangible thing. I'd like to see more deep shots. And so that is obviously very much linked to the pass protection, and I get it. You know, when you got backup tackles in, it's obviously hard to do that. But it's just like, you guys remember the rollout play on they rolled out to the right-hand side?
Third down?
Nobody went deep. It was weird. Like, and so there's no safety over the right-hand side. So there's like, it's one play that I'm kind of cherry picking.
But it was a third down, Cole. I was like, what the hell is this?
I tweeted it right after. I was like, how is there not a deep concept in the group? Like, it was weird. So I think general deep shots, Lamar has really turned his deep ball game around this year. He struggled early. You know, he missed Aguilar in that one game, and then he's been a lot better. That bomb to Zay
Flowers.
That was absolutely mental. On the run. Crazy. Placed it right on the sideline.
How about that throw to Andrews across his body?
I know.
He's running left. He threw it. He had the lowest
yarder. Yeah.
Was that?
That was the 36 yarder. He started to step up to the right. Andrews ran a whip route, and he just threw it back to the left. Yeah. He broke that tackle.
That was the lowest completion percentage chances of any completion this past weekend. And you know, after we get to JL, I got to ask if you have any insight on the injuries this week and who might be coming back, since we know you kind of get a little birdie here and there every now and then.
I was pretty damn close. The one that I missed on that everyone was surprised about was OBJ. I was told he was good to go. I was told he was playing Sunday and then not even a practice.
He's hanging on Calabasas, dude.
Dude, I don't think he's in Baltimore.
That was a swing and a miss. Not good. But other than
Calabasas, dude, didn't want to get out of bed.
He's keeping up with the Kardashians,
bro. Yeah, yeah.
he's lost in the sauce right now, dude.
I think they generally don't know what's going on with Moses yet. Like, they are actually waiting for test results, so we'll kind of see what happens there. I got to think they get OBJ back this year. Like, the fact that he was in
his this year,
like,
this
workout
week.
Gear – or this week, sorry.
He
basically warmed up on Sunday. It was weird. I have this little – this is based on no information. This is just my own little speculative brain. I think it was almost like a load management approach where he could have played and they chose not to. I genuinely think that
– DTR, maybe?
I'm wondering if they knew – that Watson wasn't playing, so they're like, let's sit him. Again, based on nothing.
This, Glenn, who did we talk to? We talked about this with who? With Ronnie, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Ronnie just won't play. Like, that's Ronnie's in the state that he was last year. And, like, that's not just like Harbaugh made it very clear all last summer when he was asked, his response was, when Ronnie's ready to be out here, we'll coach
him. Oh, actually, it was Marcus Williams we referenced.
Oh, yeah,
what the hell? Why did he practice all week and then not play, Cole?
Yeah, I don't know. That was, again, told.
Well, maybe it was a Deshaun Watson thing.
Maybe.
I was told he was going to play because I tweeted, I think it was Tuesday, reinforcements coming tomorrow. And then that's what I had heard. Cole.
Thanks.
The only one that I did not hear a single word on, other than the story of him trying to practice, was Linderbaum. And yet he's the only one that played.
And he's the one. You should have known that one already.
Yeah, I said he would have cut off his ankle to be out there.
Yeah.
So this.
What about Marlon?
Trying to get him out on the practice field. I think he's back this week. Like, I think you got to.
Is Marlon in a contract year?
No.
No. I guess they wouldn't be restructuring if he was in a contract.
Plus, he doesn't seem like that would even affect the type of guy him. I mean, this guy is there for everything.
I'm
even
just
like
shocked. I
football
feel like,
school, he was there. Like,
week one, even before week one, he was so amped about, you know, on the podcast he's on. Like, he was so, it seemed like he was.
Saw,
all,
So Ajabo took a video of him. He's running in place and he's going, he's back. I don't know what. And then we don't even see him suit up for practice, even in limited fashion.
So I think you'll see Williams. I think you'll see OBJ. I'm really not sure about Ronnie. Like, again, it sounds like it's up to Ronnie, and that's just his personal decision. Like it was last summer.
He's like, Coach, now, I'm at 90%. I'll call you when I'm at 100.
Yeah, like are you at 93.8 today? Or anyway, so it's a frustrating situation. I almost think they need to say something publicly to kind of put a little pressure on him.
Get a little fire on him.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, JL says, praying Lamar gets more time in the pocket. He's super sharp when clean. Absolutely true. The sky would be the limit if the pass game opens up, as I think you meant. Monken, don't trust offensive line.
Now he don't, and I don't blame him.
And I don't know if Lamar does. I don't know if it's just Monken. You know what I mean? I think it's just the nature of what the situation is. This is what it is, the way that we have to play. Let's work within the confines that we've been given, right? Like, let's not just go, let's force the deep ball and Lamar just gets pummeled, right? Like, let's not do that, right? Let's make the best of what we've got. So I want to go back to what you said, though, Cole, too, about Monken and kind of giving your thoughts on him. And this is me, at least the optimist side coming out, is that I'm still so excited about the fact that we're only 4 weeks into this Monken-led offense. And I guess I did, but it looks good, but it looks like there's so much more room to improve. But ultimately, if our offense only got marginally better, not significantly better, which I think they will, if they only got marginally better, I still think this is an elite offense. Yep. My opinion, when healthy. So that leads me to a lot of excitement around this Monken-led offense. And I do have one more question for you, Cole. I don't know how long you've been on because I was the last one on. But I do want to ask this.
You were late.
Golly day, dude. Freaking security guard out here. Talking to his baby mama or something. I don't know. but my question is, what's your take on – Glenn talked about this, and we don't have statistics on this, but there seems to be a decent amount of runs – that are like negative yards. Certainly, I think you did have one statistic, Glenn, that we talked about 2 weeks ago or so. That
it was insane. It was like 40%.
Oh, 21%.
Yeah, that's what it was.
21% of the runs through 3 weeks, the running plays, had gone for negative yards.
Or zero or negative.
Or zero to negative yards, right. Like, do you think that that's something that can be dramatically improved as the season moves on? Or is that just strictly based on the O-line being not healthy, or is there really like a scheme thing here they need to work on?
Couple thoughts. Definitely there was like, I'm thinking of when they were trying to close out the Colts game, because people, I think, got mad about Melvin Gordon at the time. And when I went back and watched the tape, he had those, it was the second last drive. They were basically trying to run out the clock. Then they had to punt because they went three and out. They went run, run, and then the end around to Zay. And Moses got blown up on the first play. And then on the second play, I think it was Mustafa. Yeah, it was Mustafa. And so it's like it's plays like that. Like, I don't care what your scheme is, who your running back is. Like, if your O-line's blown up right at the line of scrimmage, you're basically asking your running back to turn chicken salad into chicken shit. And even like a guy like JK, who's dynamic, he was able to do that at times. But that's tough sledding, right? So there's a little bit of that kind of O-line execution. What I've seen from Monken schematically is he really wanted to come out and run a zone-based scheme. And through the first 3 weeks, we saw more zone runs versus gap runs. And this week was completely opposite. I think it was 12 gap to 3 zone. And he went back to the Roman style of power football. Power, ISO leads, duo, all that kind of stuff. And they had more success. And so it makes me wonder, and this is always going to happen when you transition philosophically, right? Because they had a bunch of guys that fit Greg Roman's scheme on the O-line, except for Linderbaum, who was always an outlier because he was a zone guy running it. And that was always the big knock on him as a draft pick. But they still had like guys like, even a guy like Falele isn't really a zone fit. He's more of like that kind of down block guy in a gap scheme. So I noticed that they went to more of a gap scheme approach and they had more success on the ground. So I think they need to manage that kind of transition with their personnels. But I would like to see them get to a point with zone. The other thing with running zone, a lot of it comes from chemistry, combo blocks, getting used to the guy beside you, with the injuries, it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see, but I'd still like to see them kind of beat that drum, because I think that's where they're going to have the most success, especially on that left side with Ronnie back, because John Simpson's been really good in the second level. So I'd really like to see them stick to a zone based scheme, but I did notice that was something Munkin did to find some more success, was kind of go back to what I think is the roots of the group, and that's that kind of power football, and I thought it worked out really well for him.
Nice.
Well, last one I have for you, Cole, and then we'll let you get out of here. The red zone, I talked about, as I think you were jumping in, the red zone efficiency this year has absolutely been insane. They had a 44% red zone percentage last year. Right now they're at 80%, and of the 15 drives that they've made it to the red zone, 12 of them had been touchdowns, two have been field goals, and then had an interception on the first trip to the red zone. So 80%. So my question is that at all sustainable, Cole? And then how the hell have they doubled their success rate from last year to this year?
It's honestly, the reason that they've had success is it's pretty simple. They've spread things out. It was Greg Roman's biggest problem was he wanted to be too much of a power football team. So when they got into the red zone, they'd keep things tight, 22 personnel, 21 personnel, 12 personnel, keep everything in tight, and then basically constrict the defense. But he just wanted to run it down their throat, or, you know, bring them up to the line of scrimmage, run a play action, throw it over their head. And I think teams just kind of caught on a little bit. If they can win the battle at the line of scrimmage, they could play off. Munkin's spreading things out, and they're pushing the ball to the sidelines. Before the Mark Andrews back of the end zone catch, Lamar placed one in a bucket to Aguilar, and he wasn't able to get that second foot down. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different approach where they're kind of pushing the ball to the sidelines. And again, getting things a little bit more spread. They're running a little bit more 11 personnel, that sort of thing, where they have to empty the box to take care of those guys, rather than bringing everybody in tight. So that's been schematically the biggest difference, and why I've been pretty happy with Todd Munkin. Is it sustainable? Sustaining anything that's number one in the league is always going to be tough. Like, they're literally the best at it in the league right now. There'll be a little bit of regression, but if they can keep doing that, if Lamar keeps throwing balls in a bucket, if Lamar keeps, like, some of those run calls, the second touchdown, which was, it's called the lead read. And so it's something, the whole offensive line was running zone left. And so that was the Linderbaum funny block, where he threw his ass into him, twerked on him. And, you could see as soon as it wasn't a handoff, Gus sprints back to be the lead blocker. And so that's by design. That wasn't like kind of on the fly. It's called lead read. And so it's either a handoff and he takes it towards the O-line, or keeps it and Gus comes back and leads. So a little bit of creativity like that I thought was really nice. They scored on the first one with the counter bash play. Running a counter right at Myles Garrett is the best way to limit Myles Garrett. So I love that. So just like, I think just being creative in the red zone too, like not just trying to, you know, has anyone watched the Cowboys lately? Like, they get there and they just basically throw, they just give a lead, basically a lead ISO run to Tony Pollard, and he runs into his ass of his left guard or whatever. So just a little bit more creativity, I think, than you would see from Greg Roman.
Well, I think the other thing too is, like, you remember last year, Glenn, at the end of that Falcons game, I think we won the game, but I remember I was driving back in the car. I counted in that game the plays in the red zone that were not runs to where JK, Gus, or Lamar did not run the football. I think there was double-digit plays in that scenario. And so I think, Cole, also what you're mentioning is, like, let's not get too cute. I mean, it works. Lamar Jackson is probably the best weapon in the red zone because of the fact that you can spread them out, and then you can give a dynamic runner of the football space in the red zone. So let's not get cute with it, man.
Hey, let's just hope this continues. 80% red zone success, 71% third down conversion in the red zone. Like, by far, both tops of the league. If that continues, it's going to be a real tough team to beat, you know, when it matters most. Cole, I can't thank you enough for joining us, as always, on Tuesday. Appreciate so much. Guys, again, if you have not done so yet, please go over to YouTube. Oh, you're already on YouTube. And just check out Cole's page over at Road Graders. Give you an excellent breakdown on a bunch of different guys and kind of show the real secret. I mean, because, look, you can only see what you can see from broadcast view and listen to these national guys. you take a look at Cole's channel and really become a much smarter football fan. Thank you so much for joining us, Cole. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot, boys. Thanks a lot, chat. Chat, I see a lot of you over on my channel dropping comments. I appreciate it, guys. So thanks a lot. Thanks, boys. I'll see you guys next week.
Yep. All right. See ya. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of excitement right now here in Baltimore. And look, I'm not mad. I don't apologize for the fact that the Ravens are looking like they're possibly going to be seeing their third consecutive backup quarterback. That is okay with me. Yeah. I'm not mad about it. And let's just
go
out
there. Whoever's pouting about it, shut up and get over it.
That's right. Let's make them look like a backup, not like we did with Gardner. Let's make them look like DTR.
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you this, Glenn. So I'm at this work event, right? And there's a lot of congregating happening at, we like to call it the watering hole, right? It's just the bar in the middle of the lobby of this hotel, and you network and you chat, and I drink my ginger beer and my club soda and whatever. Like, we do our thing. This guy comes over, nice guy. I've known him for a while. He's chatting with a guy on a colleague of mine, and they're talking Bengals. They're Bengals fans, right? And then I was...
Were they sad?
Well, the one guy was like, they were sad. He was like, we just need to let Joe heal and like play the backup and whatever. And I was just getting another conversation, and he was like, oh, so who's your team? And I was like, dude, I'm a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan. And he was like, oh. And I was like, we can go back to the week two tape if you want.
That's right.
He like,
turn
you
it
know,
on, baby.
Yeah.
Turn it on.
Well, you think you're special because you're a Bengals fan? Like, well, what does that mean? You guys are in absolute disarray. It means nothing to me. Don't like –
The kitty cats are going to lose to the Cardinals. Like they're going to lose. They're going to lose to Arizona this week.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you guys should go bet on it at BetUS. Yeah. I bet you get some good odds.
Yeah.
Check out BetUS. Use the promo code 410 or use the link that's also in the description. You get 100% match plus 25%. So it's a total of 125% match up to $2,500. It's a great way to help us out here at the show and make some free money and have some fun. Do it responsibly. Mm-hmm. But Glenn, that's a great point, man. Go out there and bet on them Cardinals, baby.
Dude, I'm taking the points all day. The Bengals are an absolute mess. I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase is cursing in his post-game presser, saying he's always bleeping open. They are a disaster. And look, they can turn to the backup. The backup has never thrown a ball.
Yeah.
In the NFL. So I don't think it's going to get any better. They're a mess. They lost many key guys on both sides of the ball. And look, they gave a bunch of money to big old Sloppy, and he is a turnstile. And I'm not mad watching that guy absolutely whiff on blocks. He's a right tackle playing left tackle, and that's his first mistake.
He hoodwinked him into thinking he was a left tackle. The only ones who were wise enough to know otherwise let him walk.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, go over to BetUS. Use promo code 410. Make sure you gamble responsibly. But also, take a look at this Ravens game. I'm telling you, this whole Mark Andrews, look, Jimmy called it last week, but I don't think this is a one. I think whatever the over, take the over on Mark Andrews. I love his production this week. And I don't know what the spread is. They might kind of wait to see what the health status is of Kenny Pickett. But I think this is going to be a hammer time this weekend.
And I think a couple things that'll keep the spread close. It's historically the Ravens and Steelers are close.
Yeah.
Also, Lamar, if you look back at his record, like when Lamar plays, he doesn't have the best record against the Steelers. All those things could keep it closer than we expect it will be.
That's
so
true.
All that plays into your advantage, just like you said, Glenn, because I think we cover the spread.
That's right. And you know what? The national perspective is going to keep that line a little tight. So please go over to BetUS and make sure you gamble responsibly. But yeah, I mean, look, I see is saying we need to bring JPP. I wouldn't mind, if you bring in some additional depth. But right now, I'm actually not that like as long as Owe is in the horizon. Like if he's on like the horizon, and you got Van Noy, you got Clowney. Like he mentioned, Malik Harrison, sneaky good on first and second down. Not giving you much as a pass rusher.
No. But he's a monster. I mean, he's such a load out there.
He's like Jared Johnson a little bit right now as far as his first and second down play. And then you still have Jeremiah Moon. You know, you got other guys, but what I wouldn't be mad about JPP because he'd probably get the league minimum, but he doesn't move the needle for me either.
Right. Might want to pocket that for some flexibility around the trade deadline and things like that. And the other thing I'll say about Malik Harrison, if none of you guys have seen him in person, like sometimes they lie about the stats. I'm pretty sure they undersize him. He's a huge human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like just very, and the way he plays, just like you said, Glenn, he's very physical. Yeah, man, I'm excited about this week. This is gonna be a fun Steelers game.
You know what's crazy? I'm hyped, but the Bengals have daggone wiggled their way into being my most hated team in the division right now.
Wait till the game starts.
Okay, all right.
You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying because it's part of the reason. Yeah, it's not even just the players; it's the fan base. It's like, dude, you're not the Chiefs. You've won nothing.
The Steelers have won a lot. Like, they can go back. They have a trophy case. They don't even have a trophy case in Cincinnati. They don't have one that's empty. They don't have one, period.
Yeah.
They just said, we don't need one, guys. Like, when they remodeled the building.
And then Eli Apple just here.
They're like, we don't actually need a trophy case, guys. That's what he told the contractor. So,
they have nothing.
I don't get why they have the audacity, the bravado. Like, they are so excited for a team that's won absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Eli Apple put it over the top for me. After that, it was like,
dude, they wish they had him back. They're worse without him.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the mouth.
Oh, yeah, like, he's a goofball.
Yeah, let's see. SMKG says, who do you think we could get at trade deadline, Taylor? It's so hard to tell what will happen at the trade deadline or prior to, around it, whatever, because it's all about where teams are. Like, we're 4 weeks in?
Yep.
I think it's going to take just a few more to get to the point where, like, okay, teams are definitely, you know what, we're going for the number one pick. We're going for Caleb, whatever. I'm not a big fan of him either, and I'll say that real early. Doesn't really matter. I just don't think he's
here we
NFL.
Go.
I'm just saying,
this could be the one of those ones where you're early on it and you end up being right.
Well, look. What's Baker been? What's Kyler Murray been? I think he could be something like in between that, but I don't think everyone thinks he's been this great prospect in the past decade, whatever.
I just heard online.
I think Shedeur Sanders is a better NFL prospect than Caleb.
Dude, Dan Orlovsky, who, by the way, my nephew Tyler said you just got his haircut. Dan Orlovsky.
Dan's got my haircut.
Said that Caleb Williams is a combination of Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, and Justin Herbert. All combined into one guy.
The thing is, he's not any of them. Like, he's not as athletic as Lamar. He doesn't have the lateral movement or the creativity of Mahomes. And he doesn't have the arm of, what did you say, Herbert?
Yeah.
Get out of here. That's a bunch of, you know what he is? He's like, you know those.
Dude, that would be like the perfect guy. That was like, he'll be a freak.
Andrew Luck is closer to that than Caleb was, like, coming out of college, in my opinion. But this is the last thing I'll say. He's like one of those bikes. You know those, like, I forgot what they're called. It's like the road bike that can, it's also a dirt bike. A
hybrid.
Yeah, but it, like, sucks on the dirt and it sucks on the road.
It just sucks on both.
It's just not great.
Like,
it's
like shampoo and conditioner in one.
Yeah, like, you
can't, it's not good for either.
Right. It's just get it in separate bottles, dude.
Yes. Get your peanut butter and your jelly in separate containers. Don't get the one with both.
What's
don't
it called?
Do it. Schmuckers.
No. It's called anyway. Yes, you know. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the kid. I mean, he's a Lincoln Riley propped up quarterback. Is what he is.
Dang. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's had quite a few of those. But look, to your point, Jimbo, when you ask about keeping flexibility, I like that Danielle Hunter prediction. They're 1-3 already. They are likely not going to be in the factor
Goobers.
Of the playoffs. So, huh? Oh, Goobers.
Yeah.
Hold on. Goobers are
Goobers
peanuts
is the
peanut butter
and jelly in the same jar.
Oh, so I think of a goober. I think of the candy, which is just a chocolate covered peanut, you know, that you eat at the movie theaters. Those are goobers.
Here, hold on. I'm gonna share a screen.
Just make sure you don't have any inappropriate tabs. Because I've been seeing a lot of that on people. Yeah. They're like, my professor shared his tab in the back.
There
it's like busty teen.
There you go.
Goober. I told you it was Schmuckers.
That's the brand, but they're called Goobers.
That's interesting, because if you just type in Goober,
you see Google search? Peanut butter and jelly in same jar.
Yes, absolutely. I knew Schmuckers made it.
I had that happen once in a work call.
What?
The guy shared his screen.
Was
and
it bad?
Was...
Yeah, it's always like the word. Like,
and
the
then he just minimized it or like exited out of it. Like, nothing happened. It just kept talking.
That's all you can
do. How are we supposed to have another 45-minute professional conversation after this?
Yeah, at least he didn't accidentally have the audio going or something, which we've seen
that
before.
And it was on his work computer.
Just so dumb. Like, you could put it on your phone. Anything you need right here, baby. Anything you need. You do not need to spam up your work computer.
Dude, like, you work in security, dude, and you're on your own work computer. Anyway, nothing to do with the Ravens, but yes. Okay, sorry. I like the Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, don't you think at this point it's a little hard to predict? Like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, ultimately, the Ravens aren't going to be the only team looking to add guys at the the deadline too. So they could just flat out lose a bidding war. But I think both of us kind of picked on guys. I said Burns from the Panthers, who are 0-4. You says Hunter from the Vikings, who are 1-3. That's the type of target you're looking for. Expiring contracts, expensive guys who are in bad teams. That's your most likely, you know, avenue to get a bona fide pass rusher. And I think the Ravens, while they don't need it, because I still think they're going to be a top, you know, they'll be a top 10, top 5 sack producing team just by based on how Mike McDonald schemes it up. But I think what Cole said is exactly right, is it will force teams to keep more guys in the block. If you have a bona fide guy that forces a double team in and sell, it'll cause more guys at the block, which means less guys are out running routes and less guys you have to cover, but also it'll just bring more versatility with those already a versatile team that he has with Roquan, with Patrick Queen, and with Kyle Hamilton. I have no problem with them being aggressive. I hope they do. If it's anything like their last trade, it's going to be an absolute home run, you know, with Roquan being the last guy.
I mean, think about the other ones. They have turned out really well also, you know. So, and look, I don't know. Is there any interest in one? I mean, is he off his rocker insane?
Heck no. Dude, he's got a lot of issues right now.
I know. Only thing I'm saying is that something going on with the Raiders organization. You know what I'm
there
saying?
Is. I watched that man. You're talking about Chandler Jones, right?
Yes.
I watched him just.
Hold on. Can you hear that too, DK? It's like robotic. It's okay. No worries. Look, we all know the technical difficulties I deal with. This is nothing. No. So you're doing all right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
You going to switch your mic? Hello. Nope. Turn your thing on your I'm guessing is probably it.
You got it, Jimbo. Still nothing?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
No, we got you.
Yep, you're right. I unplugged it, didn't turn it back on. But yeah, Chandler Jones looks like he's going through a lot, but I just saw him do like a quick live stream, and then he starts saying, "Do you think Aaron Hernandez really killed himself?" And then he just burst into hysterical crying. Like, he's got a lot going on. You know, I hope everything goes well with him. But I mean, I don't think the Raiders are an ideal organization. But
no, you get those meds right, though. It might not take too long. So.
But he's got bigger problems than you know, the Ravens have in a lack of pass rush. But
yeah,
I hope all things go well. John needs to go over there and straighten him out, because I don't know if any other person could handle if that guy gets upset.
Good loving and care for someone can go a long way.
That's true. And this place feels like home to people.
That's right. Just knowing that you care, man. I'm not saying that's all that he needs. I don't want to minimize what he's going through. That's not my point. But it can go a long way.
Yeah, for sure. You know. Well, on that note, I think that's it for us tonight. We will be back.
I want to keep chatting. I just got here, dude. I'm totally kidding.
Look, I know you got to get up early tomorrow, so I gotta let you get to sleep. You know that. Look, it's like I said it before you got here. You don't just wake up like this. You're not Beyonce. You know, you need your beauty rest. You know, you need.
Dude, I gotta go run after this
tonight.
I have to. Yeah,
dude, it's almost 10.
Yeah, but I'm out at a resort. Like, I'm not.
I know you're at that Disney.
Yeah, I'm just gonna
running next to Mickey and Minnie, bruh.
That's right. So,
by the way, yeah, who is our? We didn't announce our fan winner. Shout to Sean. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, he's waiting to see if he won. Sean's expecting a win. He's counting.
By the way, who won our internal competition last week? I couldn't recall.
I don't remember. Do you?
Oh, that's right. It was me. It was me.
Hold on. One second. Someone's at my door. Hold on.
This guy's ordering room service during the show. I mean, this guy, he better make sure he uses the peephole, dude. You don't want to open the door when people are knocking at your hotel room. You never know who's going to be on the other side of that door. Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm looking forward, dude. What's your line, Glenn? Talk to me.
Future's bright, baby.
Future's bright. You see this light right here? That's right. That's right. Future is bright.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it. Who was this week's fan winner? I'm hoping it's a first timer because we've had.
It is.
Let's see. Turner W does not ring a bell. 59-50. Shout out to Turner W.
And did DK, do you know, was he like the only one that got 4 out of 4, or do you remember?
Let's see here. He was the
only
YouTube
one that got
submission.
4 out of 4 of all the submissions. That's awesome. Shout out. Turner W, if you're watching the show, DM us at any of the social media handles. Let's see. I'm going to remove this real quick. Above Glenn's head.
Yep.
And send us your address and your name too, because we need something to put on the thing other than your YouTube, like, you know, your user, your handle, and then also your shirt size, and we'll get it out to you, my friend.
Hey, Jimbo, the chat needs to know, were you just getting your glasses or was there somebody really?
Oh, I was just getting my glasses. Yeah, that was all just to get the glasses. I didn't order room service. I might later.
Might as well, right? After a long, hard run, get some.
Dude, we're finally running with no pain in the knee, dude. So happy.
Nice. Back to 100%. Look at you go, dude. You're like Ronnie Stanley. You're back there. 100%.
That's right. Just faster than Ronnie in that, like, it's only been 8 days. How long has it been for Ronnie? Now, he had a much more significant issue. But
he did have, like, a 400-pounder dive into the back of his leg.
Yeah. Hey, I had a battle with that concrete.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just tripped over those Baltimore streets, bro.
Me and concrete got in a fight, and I lost.
That's right. That'll happen down in the city. But that's it for us tonight. We'll be back Friday for our post-game show. We got a great guest. Christopher Carter is going to be joining us from Chris Critiques.
DK, I think we're missing something. What are we missing?
What are we missing? Nothing? He's motioning. I'm not sure.
Is that he's what he's motioning?
He done confused.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah. Friday. We only did Thursday last week because Jimmy was traveling on Friday. So yeah. That won't be the case this week. So we will be back on Friday. What's Jimmy do for a living? He's always on the go. You know, he's
like cybersecurity software.
I was going to make up a really cool thing, and you just ruined it by telling the truth. I mean, don't let truth get in front of a good story.
I think what I do is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I was about to call you Indiana Jones or some shit. Hey, like, I was about to really hype you up.
This could be a cover. This could be a cover.
That's right. He's finishing side quests, Luis. That's right. That's right. He's finishing dungeons.
What is that?
It's a video game thing, Jimbo. SMKG says, last question. You think Ronnie is cut after this year? You know, I'd have to look at the contract details on when the Ravens can get out of it without having a huge lump sum of dead cap money.
If it's single digits, he's gone.
Yeah, I think that they're going to look to find a cheaper option for sure. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, look, even if you love Ronnie and you think he's a pro bowler, you can't count for more than, 12 games a year out of him at best?
Ooh, yeah.
So it's like you got to factor that into his paycheck, unfortunately, for him. But luckily for him, he already made his money.
Yeah,
he'll
he's
be
doing
fine.
Okay.
He'll be just fine. But, yeah, I do think if they can, they'll get out of that contract after this year.
100%.
Mm-hmm. But that's it for us tonight. Join us this Friday, 8 o'clock. Be here or be square. I don't think I messed that up.
Be there or be square.
There it is. That's it for now.